My guest is sports writer Tom Boswell. He's been writing about sports for the Washington Post since 1969. He's become nationally known for his articles and books about baseball. But his readers might be surprised to learn that Boswell is just as passionate about another sport, golf. So much so that he's collected his newspaper and magazine pieces about golf into a new book titled Strokes of Genius. Boswell admits that golf is not for everybody, and his colleagues at the Post ribbed him when he offered to cover golf. I asked Boswell why he loves a sport that so many other writers find dull.
Back when I took over golf, most people thought it was at the same level as covering boomerang contests and 5 a.m. bicycle races. Not a popular sport to cover, largely I think because it's not controversial. I liked it for just that reason. I think that golf is the last really civilized sport that we have. A lot of the things that make other sports controversial are also things that to me make them unpalatable. Labor strikes, drug testing, fixing of games, scandals about point shaving. Not only does the golf tour have an honor code, but it's one that players impose on themselves. I've been around golf for almost a dozen years now, and I find it refreshing to go back to a sport that still has the original simple values that it had 50 years ago or more.
You know, and I know that a lot of people have negative predispositions about golf. What are some of the reasons, do you think, that people who don't like golf don't like it?
I think that one of the reasons is that it was a country club sport for a long time. Now the large majority of golfers are public course golfers. Even on the professional golf tour, you find now that instead of playing at ritzy country clubs like Congressional Country Club in Washington, for instance, the tour is building players' clubs, which are really public facilities, stadium golf courses where the fan is put first, where he doesn't feel like he's interloping on someone else's ritzy private club.
You describe golf as a humbling game, and you say that golfers are ingrained with a constant acceptance of failure.
I think that's one of the reasons that golfers sometimes seem dull. The sort of mental health that's required to play golf is slightly different than some other sports. In golf, you always are going to have to constantly struggle to regain your form. Even a player as good as Nicklaus loses it constantly and only finds his best form for a week or a month at a time. And I think that that golfers, with the exception of certain people like Lee Trevino and Fuzzy Zeller, who laugh their way through the sports and fight off the pressure in that way, golfers tend to have a sort of a low-flame asceticism about themselves. They tend to be a little bit like flagellates who send themselves to the practice range to hit 1,000 balls to atone for their double bogeys. The fact that you're so self-reliant in golf that you can't blame anyone else for your mistakes, I think tends to bring out the Puritan streak in some golfers. They say, oh, it's my own fault, I can't blame anyone for this when I now have to go hit 1,000 practice putts. And so I think that that golfers tend to almost break themselves on the wheel of their discipline.
Are you a golfer?
Yes.
When did you start?
Oh, more than 20 years ago. It's sort of a lifetime form of masochism. every year you tell yourself that you're going to devote yourself, dedicate yourself, take some lessons, and really get that handicap down into single digits. And every year you go out and find out that you just don't have the character to pull it off. So you go out and throw clubs again.
You really hung up on this thing about character, about how it really takes character to build a good golf game.
I think that the sports you're attracted to are those that in some sense reflect personal values that you have. I've always loved baseball and golf most because I thought that the qualities that those sports demanded were the ones that I respected the most. That doesn't mean that other people wouldn't like other sports for other reasons. I love the dailiness of baseball, that is, that you have to come ready to play 162 days a year, that the spectacular and the mundane are sort of equally valued. And in golf, I respect the cultivation of both your natural temperament and what you might call your anti-self. If you're naturally a person with a lot of temper like I am, you have to learn to control that temper. You have to, you can't smolder on the golf course. You have to learn self-control. On the other hand, if you tend to be sort of a placid, phlegmatic person, I think you need to learn to generate something opposite to that, or else you can't maintain a good enough level of intensity to play the game. So I like it for that reason. I think character is not an out-of-place word.
Can you compare writing about baseball and writing about golf?
I think when you write about baseball, you're operating from an enormous body of lore and an enormous level of common understanding among the fans that are reading it. Also, your accessibility to the players is absolutely unique. To be able to sit around for a couple of hours before games telling tales and swapping lies and then talk after games gives a real sense of being inside the game. And for that reason, I think baseball will always be the best writing sport, and it is better writing sport than golf, though only by a level. In golf, I think that you as a writer have to do a great deal more imaginative work at trying to get inside the player or performer's head. I think it helps if you follow him around the course. There's nothing more organic than a round of golf. If you watch from one shot to the next, you can see the wheels wobbling or coming off, or you can see a player's confidence coming together to the point where he can play several holes at a level of brilliance, as Jack Nicklaus did on the final nine holes of the Masters in 1986. That's really stunning. So I think that you have to do more creative work as a writer covering golf. You have to put more of yourself into it. In baseball, it almost comes and sits at your feet and offers you one wonderful thing after another.
You know, as an interviewer, I could say that I think there's been very little that I've read that has been really interesting about interviewing. And one of the most interesting things I've ever read about interviewing is something that you wrote in an Esquire article in 1982. And I'd like to read you a passage from that and still see if you still...
It's interesting.
Believe what you wrote about this. So can I give it a shot?
Sure.
Great. You wrote that it's a psychological perversity in human nature that people are more likely to speak honestly and even movingly to strangers or to people they half know but respect than they are to most friends. Why do you think psychiatrists sit behind you, scribble in their notepads, speak in prodding, monosyllabic questions, and make particularly sure that you don't get to know them too well? They're just reporters who never file a story. The writer's principle is the same. Be empathetic, be decent, but don't be phony and pretend you're a friend.
I absolutely believe that. I find there are a lot of reporters who get to know players very well in baseball or in, not so much in golf, but in baseball, I'll say. They're really buddy-buddy, maybe even pitch batting practice or go drinking. And I think that that gives the illusion of closeness, and it may help you find out who hates the general manager and find out details at a very small level. But I also think that it hurts you when you try to get that person to talk about the deepest things that's going on in his life, his lack of confidence, where he finds his strength. I think if you keep your distance, you're much more likely to get the really telling psychological insight or the really honest exposure of personality.
Is it easy for you to keep the right amount of distance from the athletes who you cover?
I don't think that there is one athlete in the world that knows that I have a six-month-old baby.
Really?
So I don't think there's one athlete in the world who's ever met my wife, been to my house, and there probably aren't five that I've ever gone to dinner with. I don't think that's necessary. I think it tends to lead you into being a fraud around them, giving them the impression that you're going to cut them a break, or when their career is about over, you're going to write the column that's going to save them and give them an extra year or prevent the trade they don't want. I think there's sort of an implicit lie in it, and I'm much more comfortable with distance. It's natural to me, so I won't tout it as a virtue. It's my nature.
When you were young, did you want to be either an athlete or a sports writer?
I certainly never kidded myself about being an athlete, and given the choice, wouldn't have wanted to be one. Still wouldn't if there were a magic wand today. I would much rather be a writer than any sort of athlete in the world, even Jack Nicklaus. I think just writing's a higher calling and a better one. I'd rather be a second or third-rate writer, which is probably where I am, than a first-rate athlete.
How come?
Oh, right. Athletes' performances are written on water. I think athletes barely even understand what they're doing. I think it's more fascinating to understand someone than it is to hit a ball in a hole.
Tom Boswell, thank you very much for talking with us.
I really enjoyed being on with you. Thanks a million.
Tom Boswell's new book about golf is titled Strokes of Genius.